Chakshurvimritam jena tasmai Shri Gurave namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manuvistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapandantikam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text Number 14. Nayam arhati vaikunta pada mula upasarpanam sambhavita mati stabda sadubi pariupashitam. Nayam harhati vaikunta padamulo pasharpanam sambhavita mati stabda sadubi pariupashitam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This person is puffed up because of his achievements, thinking, I am the best. He does not deserve to approach the shelter of Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, which are worshipped by all saintly persons, for he is impudent, thinking himself greatly important. Purport. If a devotee thinks that he is very much advanced in devotional service, he is considered puffed up and unfit to sit beneath the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. Again, this instruction by Lord Chaitanya is applicable. Trinad api sanichenor, tadord api sahishnuna, amanena manadena kirtaniya sadahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking himself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Unless one is humble and meek, one cannot qualify to sit at the lotus feet of the Lord. Panchakalpa turu vaishcha kripa sindhu bhivacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. This narration of Chitraketu's being cursed by Parvati, and then later on, subsequently, his taking birth as Vritrasura, is one of the favorite narrations of the Vaishnavas, especially in the attitude of Maharaj Chitraketu and in his subsequent appearance as Vritrasura. We see so many wonderful qualities. Actually, Maharaj Chitraketu was not a puffed up person. And certainly Vritrasura was not a demon, although he is known as Asura. But when we heard him speak, or when we hear him speak, we shall certainly become convinced what a great transcendental personality he actually is. Because how can anyone who achieves the association of the Lord, as Chitraketu had, be a puffed up person? As this verse itself states, No one can sit at the lotus feet of the Lord if they are proud. And he had such a darshan of the Lord in the presence of the Kumaras. He got to see the Lord. And so this whole event that is being narrated here is a transcendental lila. There's a saying that when the mother wants to teach her daughter-in-law something, she does it by instructing her own daughter. Of course, probably the ladies here are not living with their mother-in-laws. Nobody's smiling. I can't tell if you are or not. Probably you're not. Anyway, in the future, when there are generations of devotees, you may have to, or some ladies may live with their mothers-in-law. But as it is typical, girls don't like to be instructed by their mothers-in-law. So the mother-in-law, being very intelligent, she still has her daughter at home, so she teaches her daughter. And her mother, and the daughter-in-law happens to be hearing whatever she's teaching her daughter, and so she learns indirectly. Why am I talking about mothers and mothers and daughters-in-laws? Because what the Lord is teaching Chitraketu is not so much meant for Chitraketu. It is meant for us. But just like unruly daughters-in-law, we don't like to be instructed. We become disobedient or unsubmissive sometimes in the face of instruction. So the Lord chooses his most beloved devotees to teach us whatever he wants us to learn. And this is how we should understand so many situations in the Bhagavatam. Not only Maharaj Chitraketu, but for example Arjuna and so many others. They're all eternal associates of the Lord who are playing the part of ordinary persons for our sake, so that the Lord can instruct us. Certainly the apparent offense at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, if it were so, is very grievous. In other words, there is nothing worse than offending the lotus feet of a devotee. In the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, Yadi Vaishnava Aparad Uti Hati Mata. Hati Mata means it is the elephant offense. It is the mad elephant offense. And what is the result? Upadi Vachindetara Suki Yayapata. It breaks the devotional creeper and causes it to shrivel up. So, this is the first offense. Satam nindanamna, offending paramamu parara vitanute, to offend the holy name of the Lord by offending the sadhu, sadhu ninda. Most grievous of all offenses. And unfortunately, the chance is there that it may be committed at any time, because we are living in so much close proximity. Try to stay awake, otherwise how can you learn? We are living in so much close proximity with other Vaishnavas that the chance is there that we could commit offense. Tandir charane sevi bhakti sanhivas. Narottam Thakur has said that to serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas in the association of the devotees is the hope, the only hope for advancement. Bhakta Sanhe Vas means to live in the association of devotees. Sometimes we see that persons become inclined for independence and they want to move out of the temple community. But actually, the fact is that they must have committed some offenses. Because It is not that we do anything. It is that everything is controlled by Krishna. And if we find ourselves moving away from the devotee community, it means that somehow our bhakti lata is shriveling up. We are thinking that now I will have an opportunity for expanding my material pleasure or satisfaction. But actually, we are very unfortunate. When Ramananda Roy was discussing with Lord Chaitanya, he said that the most horrible thing of all is when one loses the association of the devotee of the Lord. So, Srila Prabhupada made it even clearer by saying that it is impossible to become Krishna conscious outside of ISKCON. In other words, when we see in the Western world how materialistic it is, what is the hope of being Krishna conscious if we leave the shelter of these ISKCON temples? So, the books that we are distributing are like beacons. Just like when you're on a ship out at sea and the storm comes and the waters become very turbulent, the only thing that can guide you to the shore, the safety of the shore, is some beacon light. So we are casting out into the ocean so many beacons, so many lights. The Srimad Bhagavatam is described that when the Lord, the Supreme Lord, disappeared from the earth 5,000 years ago, the whole world became plunged in the darkness of the Kali Yuga. And the only way in which the unfortunate people could get any light is by the appearance of this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is like the brilliant sun. So, we are trying to illuminate the darkness of Kali Yuga through this transcendental book distribution, Srimad Bhagavatam. Have no doubt that the words of the Bhagavatam will certainly light up the dense darkness of the Kali Yuga materialists. Their brains are shrouded in cobwebs of illusion and ignorance. But the Srimad Bhagavatam is like a brilliant sun. So we should never think that, oh, how will they understand? Everyone has love of God within their heart. And it is now lying like a seed inside the heart. A seed is not yet the full manifestation of the flower or the fruit. It is only a hope, a beginning. People get opportunities in various ways by the grace of Krishna to do different types of fortunate, pious activities. In so many ways. Because there is a natural tendency to want to serve or help others. For example, practically anyone who is standing on a street, if they see a little child run into the street, what will they do if a car is rushing towards that child? Even if it's a karmi child, what will you do? You'll try to help him. And even if it's a karmi and it's a devotee child, what will the devotee karmi do? He'll try to help. Practically, the only one who wouldn't help is a demon. So there is a natural tendency for doing service for others. And this service propensity, which is constitutional within all of us, gives us many opportunities for unseen pious credits. For example, if you want an example of how vast is the mercy of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada said that anybody who drives a Ford motor car and goes out in Sankirtan, of course, here we are driving what kind of cars? Anyone who drives a Mercedes van or a Toyota van and goes out in Sankirtan, all the people that made that van, that means who riveted the bolts, who cut the steel, who poured the steel, who sold the vehicle, who shipped the vehicle, all of them get a Geta Sukriti. It's inconceivable. How many people are getting a Geta Sukriti because of this Sankirtan movement? What a vast yajna Prabhupada has begun. You know, just as in the previous ages they did yajnas, and they were like great world's fairs. So many persons would come from all over the world to take part in these big yajnas. Now, people are not inclined for yajna. And so, Krishna Varna Trisha Krishna Sango Pangas Japarshadam Yajnai Sankirtanai Prayer Yajanti Hi Sumedasha. In the Kali Yuga, the proper yajna to perform is Sankirtan Yajna. And just see how many people are coming for the mercy. Sometimes we see deities of Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda with their hands like this. Here their hands are like this, but sometimes they're like this. And what does it mean? Come and get the mercy. Take the mercy. So the Sankirtan Yajna is, you know, offering the mercy to unlimited numbers of people. And when all of these Agata Sukriti builds and builds and builds and builds and builds, at the right moment, it waters this Bhakti Lata beach in the form of it becomes fruitful, or it bursts out of the ground in the shape of the association of a devotee. That moment when someone gets a book is the culmination of so much Agata Sukriti. And as soon as they get the book, Prabhupada says, their devotional life begins. Now it's no longer Agata Sukriti. Sukriti means material piety. But actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has explained that the kind of fortune that comes by association with devotees or any aspect of devotional service is not material piety. Because material piety leads to where? Svarga Loka, higher material planets. But this spiritual Sukriti, it leads to Krishna Loka. It nurtures bhakti. Because bhakti cannot come as a result of gyan. Bhakti cannot come as a result of karma. Bhakti can only come as a result of bhakti. Because bhakti is causeless. It's causeless. The mercy of the Lord is causeless. So bhakti can only come from bhakti, because then it has only come from itself, so it has no other cause. So, when we give these transcendental literatures, like Srimad Bhagavatam, then there is a downpour of mercy. And a devotee's, or a prospective devotee, blossoms more and more. So, if someone moves away from the association of the devotees, it is Krishna acting within his heart. Now you may say, well, why would the Lord do that? To protect him from committing further offenses. The Lord is very, very intelligent and kind. The Lord knows how to bring someone back to Godhead. Prabhupada said, if you do even a little bit of service for Krishna, it never goes in vain. Krishna himself says this in the Gita, a little advancement on this path will protect you at the most dangerous time. So, the Lord knows how to deal with each and every person. Just like with Chitraketu. He knew what Chitraketu would do. Narayana para sarve nakutas janya bibhate svarga pavharga narakesha pituliyanta darshina. Lord Shiva glorified Chitraketu. When Parvati cursed Chitraketu, that you should fall down and become a demon because you're envious of my husband, you have laughed at us. Lord Shiva practically laughed at his wife. He said, you don't know who you have cursed. You don't know the mistake you have made. Because this person, you'll see what he does. Because what did Chitraketu do? He said, thank you. You're so kind to me. And Parvati was astonished how Chitraketu took this curse upon his head. And Lord Shiva said, now see the glories of the devotee. How wonderful they are. Whether they go to heaven or whether they go to hell is all the same. Actually, these Sankirtan devotees have got good opportunity for trying to practice to be devotees. Because sometimes we get sent to heaven, and sometimes we get sent to hell. Sometimes we find ourselves in the most hellish, abominable places, in some fish market, distributing a book, or we may be up in the Swiss Alps with everybody taking so many books. We may be in a subway in New York, which is like crawling into the bowels of the earth, into the mouth of Agasura. And we may be in some heavenly abode up in the Alps. But either way, we're fixed. We're always in good spirit. Just like Navina was saying to me, now it doesn't matter whether it's a marathon or not, whether we're in a good place or not. Somehow the books go out, the same number of books, more or less go out every hour. Because we are indifferent. A devotee should learn to be indifferent to all different situations. Mata sparsas tikunteya sitoshna sukha dukada agama pahino nityas tamas tatikshasa balita. So Chitraketu was more than just an ordinary devotee. He had already more than mastered this business of tatikshasa. He wasn't just tolerant. He was a great lover of God. For him it was easy. For us it is not. Because we are not siddha. We have not achieved the sadhya platform, the goal of prema. We are just, you know, aspiring sadhakas. So we have to practice. And in order to teach us, the Lord sends His very merciful incarnation, the spiritual master, whose thankless task it is to teach all of us, stubborn, unsubmissive pupils. And he does so in various ways. Just like when I was a new devotee, Srila Prabhupada called me, and he was teaching me all about the different, you know, realms from the spiritual world to the material world. You know in the Brahma Samhita? Go loka namni nijadamni chale tatasya deveshu haridama shute shuteshu. All of different levels are being described. Devi dam, Shiva dam, Hari dam, Krishna dam. Right? From the material world to the spiritual. So Prabhupada was teaching me and I was sitting there being very pleased that Srila Prabhupada was taking so much time to personally instruct me in his room. He had started from Krishna Loka, and he had somehow gotten into the material world, and then he focused in on, you know, planet Earth, and then on North American continent, then on the city of Los Angeles, and then in on the street even to La Cienega Boulevard. He was telling me everything from the highest to the lowest. And then finally, down to myself, he said, and there is Tamal Krishna Das. And he thinks he is controlling everything. And my balloon popped. The spiritual master's business is to help a disciple to become humble. And so he does so by various instructions, by various beratings. Prabhupada sometimes, after all the years of my serving Prabhupada, right? In the last year, Prabhupada, I was sitting with Prabhupada in Rishikesh and I had made one of my innumerable stupid mistakes. And Prabhupada looked at me and said, the problem is there is nothing inside. It is simply zero. And I went, oh, after all these years, the final point is still zero. So the spiritual master knows how to help his disciple to become humble. Yes, it is zero. Actually, we have nothing. But whatever we do have, it will be given to us by Guru and Krishna's grace. Otherwise, we don't think that we had any good qualities. But somehow or other, they have been kind upon us. So if we take that humble mood, it becomes much, much easier. Everything becomes easy. So to help us, the Lord and his representative, the Guru, sometimes act, you know, Prabhupada said, his Guru Maharaj used chopping technique. One time, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving a lecture, and Prabhupada was sitting listening, and one of Prabhupada's, one of the other persons in the room started to speak to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada had to turn to listen to him. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur stopped the lecture, and he said, "Oh, Abhay Charan Babu, you want to come here and lecture?" And Prabhupada felt so small. And Prabhupada said he was so happy to get this chastisement of his Guru Maharaj. He felt it to be so many more times better than to be praised. Just like I always remember in the Mayapur festival, there was a Sankirtan festival being held, and one devotee was, this was about 5 years ago, there was one devotee who used to do the awards. So I was sitting with Rohini Sutta Prabhu, and the host was glorifying, you know, the devotees. And Rohini Sutta was saying, "Oh, this is very bad. Very bad, very bad." He said, "This will be very bad for all the devotees." And I was thinking how this is the right mood. That in the material world, everyone, you know, as soon as they get glorified, they go, "Yes, yes, please say more. You know, finally I have been recognized." But in the material world, you know, the devotee, when in the spiritual consciousness, when a devotee gets praised, he practically wants to hide. He feels so embarrassed. So, everything is upside down in spiritual life. Therefore, the materialists cannot understand us, because we have a different goal. They don't have the same goal as we. We want to develop our love for Krishna. So, when we deal with devotees, we have to be very, very careful. Because Lord Chaitanya has said, Vaishnava Kriya Mudra Vignaya Nudbujaya. It is very difficult to understand what is in the mind of a devotee. You can't understand them so easily. Therefore, Rupa Goswami has said, Jristaya Sabhava Janitara Vapushas Chadoshaya Napakritatvam Iha Bhakta Janasapasyet Gangam Basham Nakalu Bhubadafena Pankara Brahma Devatam Avagachati Nira Dharmai. When we see a devotee of the Lord, we should not identify him based upon the body, thinking, "Oh, this devotee has some defect of the body. This devotee has some defect due to birth. I remember this person when he joined, he was like this or she was like that." This type of attitude in seeing a devotee is been described. Arche Vishnu Shila Dir Gurushu Naramatya Vaishnava Jati Buddhi. To think of Vaishnavas in these material ways is Naramatya. It is the Naraka. One should be going into hell if he thinks like this. We have to never see a devotee in that basis. We should always see a devotee in terms of their relationship with their spiritual master and Krishna. Even amongst husbands and wives, we see sometimes there is disagreement. Why? Because they see on the bodily platform, my wife, my husband. No, we shouldn't see like that. We should understand this is the servant or the maidservant of my Guru Maharaj. And then we should offer respect. Then the husbands and wives will not quarrel, and God brothers will not quarrel, or God sisters will not quarrel, because they should be seen awake. I hope they're staying awake. They should be seen awake, always respecting the order of their guru, and in this way they should be respected. So, offenses are so dangerous. This is the subject, main subject. A nice example was given the other day, which I have heard previously also, was given in Radha Desh, that once Srila Rupa Goswami was deep in his bhajan. He was chanting and meditating upon the pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And often these pastimes are so enjoyable and relishable and funny, especially funny. So he began to laugh. And at that moment, one elderly Vaishnava walked by. And that Vaishnava was deformed in body. So when he walked by, Rupa Goswami was laughing. So suddenly Rupa Goswami, the Vaishnava felt, why is Rupa Goswami laughing at me? And he felt sorry and he went away. At that moment, Rupa Goswami's bhajan went down. And he could not understand. He opened his eyes. No one was there. And he thought, what has happened? So he went to his elder brother, Sri Sanatan Goswami, who was just like his spiritual master. In the Bhagavatam, it is stated that one should see the elder brother as one of one's gurus. In Krishna consciousness, we used to do this. But then, with some difficulty of some of the elder brothers, now everybody has given up this habit. But actually, it is a Shastric injunction that the elder brother is to be seen like guru. And Rupa Goswami has shown this example by respecting Sanatana Goswami as his spiritual master. Although actually Chaitanya Mahaprabhu practically is his spiritual master, still he considered Sanatana Goswami as the representative of Lord Chaitanya for him. So he asked him that my bhajan suddenly went down. What happened? So Sanatana Goswami said, you must have offended some Vaishnava. Rupa Goswami said, I don't know how it happened. I'm always very careful about this. I don't know who it could be. So Sanatana Goswami said, the best thing is that you hold a big utsav, a big feast. And whoever doesn't come, then you'll know it was that person you offended. So he invited everyone, except one person, everyone came. And then they traced out that person and they knew what had happened. They knew it was this person. So then Sanatana Goswami went and they inquired what has happened. Rupa Goswami begged forgiveness from this person. And he said that Rupa Goswami laughed at me. So Rupa Goswami said, I never saw him. But I was engaged at that time in meditating on the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and so I was smiling and laughing. Then everything was explained and all the problems were cleared. But now from this narration of this pastime, we can see how dangerous it is to offend another devotee. That even unconsciously or unknowingly, if someone takes offense, it can disturb your bhajan, your Krishna conscious service. So we have to walk, you know, in such a careful way that that should not happen. Otherwise, everything will be disturbed. The devotees in the neophyte condition, this is the problem. When there are neophytes, they commit offenses against the devotees. Archayam eva haraye pujam yasharaye hate natat bhakteshu chaneshu sa bhakta prakrita smitaha. In the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam, the definition of a materialistic devotee is described. He worships the Lord and the spiritual master, but in regard to all others, he cannot see the Lord's presence within them. He cannot respect them properly. So we see that when such prakriti bhaktas, neophyte devotees, get together, the tendency is for criticism and fault-finding. And therefore, neophytes are advised that they should try to associate with more advanced devotees so that this criticizing tendency will be kept under check. And what is the Madhyam Bhakta like? The Madhyam Bhakta, he worships the Lord, he has love for the devotees, He gives his mercy to the innocent and he avoids the envious. And what about the Uttam Vaishnava, the topmost devotee of the Lord? He sees everyone equally. And he sees them all as servants of the Lord, but he sees himself as the most fallen and unfortunate who has no chance for serving the Lord. So, we may not be able to come immediately to this Uttama platform, but at least we should come for the Madhyam platform. We should learn how to properly honor the Lord's devotees. There's so much opportunity here. That's why I come personally to this temple, because I feel it is the best place to honor the Lord's devotees. Because I see that the devotees in this temple have taken more seriously Srila Prabhupada's most important instruction regarding book distribution as everything for them. So I feel that by coming here, I can get their association and become fixed up in that order which Srila Prabhupada has given all of the devotees of our movement. This is really Guru Nishtha. And Guru Nishtha is everything in spiritual life. Firm attachment and faith in the order of the spiritual master. So, you have a great service to perform to the world, because everyone looks to this temple and in fact to this entire zone for the example in transcendental book distribution. It is very nice now to see Krishna has sent so many new bhaktas and bhaktins to bolster our Sankirtan army. It certainly is in reciprocation for all of the sincere prayers. I think the devotees here were praying like this, right? I believe even His Holiness Hari Keshmaraj gave a nice prayer to tell everyone to pray now that Krishna should send more new devotees. And actually those prayers have been effective, because we see Aham Bhakta Paradino He Astvadatantra Iva Dvija Sadhu Bir Grastar Dhyo and Bhaktir Bhakta Janapriya. Within the heart of the devotee is Krishna, and within the heart of Krishna are the devotees. So when you're in the heart of the devotee, when you're in the heart of Krishna, and the Sankirtan devotees are certainly in the heart of Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya will certainly hear their prayers. And when they pray, please influence more people to join us so that we can perform the Sankirtan Yajna with more spirit, with more enthusiasm. Now the result is coming. Result has come. So, let us go forward then, on the positive side, pushing forward the Sankirtan movement, and to avoid the negative side, don't commit any offenses. Don't commit any Vaishnava apparat. If you just do these two things, take full part in the Sankirtan Yajna and avoid committing Vaishnava apparat, you know, very easily you will achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. So we'll stop here and ask if anyone has any questions. Yes, Mataji. Nowadays the marathon is going on and you're not in the right mood. What can you do? Well, not being in the right mood means you're not going out on Sankirtan. Even if you cannot be in the right mood, you can act in the right way. At least your actions can be correct if your thoughts are not. And gradually, by acting in the proper way, the thoughts will become corrected. The mistake that devotees make is they think that, first of all, let me think properly, then I'll act properly. Just like in India, we used to go to make life members. So we would approach them and say, "Dear sir, please become our member." And they would say, yes, when Krishna tells me to, I will become your member. So we would say, but sir, Krishna has told us to come and tell you to become a member. So Krishna is already telling you through us. But their mentality exposes the wrong idea that first, when I become Krishna conscious, then I will chant Hare Krishna. This is the same idea, that when I become Krishna conscious, I will chant Hare Krishna. But we know that unless you chant Hare Krishna, you can't become Krishna conscious. So just like some food, supposing some bitter types of food, which you may not like to eat, how do you develop a taste for them? You take them, and gradually the taste will come. Rupa Goswami has said about the holy name that in the beginning it tastes bitter, but in the end it will be sweet as nectar. Now, book distribution is a very sweet activity. Otherwise, why did Srila Prabhupada tell us to engage in it? And we see that fixed-up devotees are enjoying book distribution. They're taking pleasure in the activity. So we should not think that the activity is no good. But my mind is rebellious. It is not submissive. It is not Krishna conscious. So let me act. Let me take the medicine, and gradually it will act on me, and I'll come in the right mood. So don't stop your Sankirtan activities. Just go on with the activities and pray. Please help me to overcome these shortcomings and gradually develop a proper mood of service to all of to Krishna, to Guru, and to all of the conditioned souls. And gradually the right mood will come. Don't stop the Sankirtan, because that will be the mind's trick. You should stay back at the temple, and when you become enthusiastic, then you go out, and that day will never come. Just like the guru says, I'm hungry, please cook for me. And the disciple says, but I'm not inspired. What kind of answer is that? My dear Gurudev, when I become pure, then I will be able to cook for you. You rascal, I'm starving to death, go and cook. But I'm not inspired, I'm not pure yet. This type of mood will never bring us the mercy of Guru and Krishna. And if you say it is very difficult, please notice that all the materialists in the world, all the billions of them, they go to work every day. Do you think they enjoy it? Now, if they go to work simply on account of material duty, shouldn't we go out on Sankirtan as a spiritual duty, whether we enjoy it or not? Otherwise, on what grounds are we earning our keep? How do we justify eating here and sleeping here? One should act according to one's duty, and gradually the good feelings will come. Krishna says you must perform your duty. The whole Bhagavad Gita is on that point only. What is Arjuna saying? I don't want to fight. And Krishna goes through 18 chapters simply to get him to do his duty. Does he say finally at the end, all right, never mind, don't fight. And if in the future you'll feel like it, then you can fight. No. And we should go on Sankirtan, never mind how we feel. Someone says, I don't want to go on Sankirtan. I feel like people are pushing me to go on Sankirtan. I want to go out of my own accord. You mean to say a child goes to school of his own? The children are pushed to go to school? A child doesn't want to eat some food which is good for him. The mother makes him eat. So many things we do because it's proper and good for us, never mind whether we like it or not. What is discipline? What does disciple mean? Discipline means that whether you like it, Rupa Goswami says you should be prepared to do things you don't want to do or not to do things that you do want to do. And that is a disciple. Not that I will choose a guru because this guru will tell me only what I want to hear. But this guru is not so good because he forces. You're forced. Old age is forcing, death is forcing, disease is forcing, the material energy is forcing like anything. So the guru is so kind to force you so that you don't get forced by Maya. You see, you wanted me to say something different, and I didn't do that. Please forgive me. Don't take it as an offense. Yes, he also made an offense because he took offense. That's true. Rupa Goswami made no offense. But still, another Vaishnava's feelings are so potent that still it affected his bhajan. Prahlad Maharaj also, he said, I can't go back to Godhead without taking everyone with me. This is compassion. A devotee feels compassion. Just like if you're sitting in a room with someone and they're not in Krishna consciousness, it's very hard to be peaceful. If the person's a devotee, isn't it? And they're in Maya, it's very hard to be with them without, you know, pushing them. Of course, sometimes we push by not saying anything, and sometimes we push by saying something directly. You have to become expert at knowing how to push the person to do devotional service. Just like children, right? You use reverse psychology on them. You tell them the opposite thing, and then they do the opposite of what you tell them you want. You want them to do something, tell them that you want the opposite thing, and then they'll do it. So devotees are like children sometimes, so we have to be so clever in dealing with them to know how to, you know, get them to do what Krishna wants. Yes?
Prabhupada said to become a deep and that you don't make any more offenses, but you see in practice. Of course, the demon made even more offense, so can you say it?
But that demon, Vritrasura, made no offense. That demon was so good. Parvati's curse was a blessing in disguise. Parvati's curse freed Chitraketu from any more life in the material world. He got born as a demon, Vritrasura, and then he could fight with Indra, and he told Indra, now, Indra, you want to be a big shot? You want to be a big controller? Good. You're going to have to kill me in order to get your desire fulfilled. Now please kill me. And he told him how to do it. Take that weapon of yours and cut my head off and send me back to Godhead. And Indra suddenly realized, he felt so small because he realized that he was getting the short end of the deal. He was going to get the whole, you know, universe to control, and this person was going back to the lotus feet of the Lord. No, not so likely. When a neophyte associates with a more advanced devotee, generally they will not so easily find fault, because it is not so easy to find fault in an advanced devotee. Generally, it will minimize the fault-finding tendency. They'll find so many more faults with another neophyte, that is the point. Yet there is always a chance, you're right, that you may offend a more advanced devotee. But then if you say, well, because there's a chance of offending a more advanced devotee, and that's even a worse mistake than offending a less advanced devotee, I'll only associate with less advanced devotees. No, better to associate with more advanced devotees and be very careful. And how should you do it? In the nectar of instructions, it is said that when you associate with a devotee who is more advanced, how should you see that person? Hmm? Huh?
He should be a servant of that person.
That's almost right. You should see him as your spiritual master, and you should see yourself as his disciple. Now, someone may inquire, how can this be? I already have my guru. If I start seeing everyone as more advanced as my guru, it's going to minimize my devotion and one-pointedness on my guru. So what should we do? You should think that my guru is coming to me in the form of this more advanced devotee to instruct me. Then there's no duality. You think, my guru is so kind that he has sent this more advanced devotee to instruct me personally. In this way we can see someone who is giving us instruction also as guru and not see in dual way. It will increase our love for our guru. Today I said that? I was speaking especially about persons who move away for increasing their material necessities. Not necessarily someone who leaves altogether. That's at least what was in my mind. In other words, I was emphasizing this point, but you can carry on with your question. Perhaps it will still be applicable. Choice means?
On the part of the individual to live outside rather than just Krishna pushing him outside and he has no choice.
Oh. Yes. Krishna doesn't force anyone. So when someone chooses to live outside, certainly it is their choice. But Krishna also encourages them and gives them so much reason and facility to do so once they have made that choice. But one thing we should understand, apichet sudada chero bhajanti mama nanyavak sadureva samantavya samyak vyavashitohisha. A person who has once taken up devotional service, even if they go to a distance, is not to be ever considered like an ordinary karmi. Because Krishna is still looking after them. And at the right time, they'll come back. Just like we see, when Krishna is very kind, yasyaham manugrinami hadishe tadanam shanar. What do we find about devotees who go aside usually? Gradually, so many facilities are withdrawn, and gradually they start to think, I need Krishna, I need the devotees. So Krishna will act in such a way to bring them back. Just like when you're fishing, of course we're not supposed to fish, but when we see people who are fishing, or when we remember our past misfortune, you know how you catch a fish. Sometimes you have to let out the line, right? And the fish is going and going further away. But you know that he'll get tired. Let him run for a while. Give him the line, it's called, right? What do they say? Give him the slack. Give him the line. And he goes out further and further, and he gets more and more tired. And when the fish just goes, huh, then it becomes easy to reel him in. So sometimes Krishna has to allow a person to go out for a while and further exhaust himself, right? We say that, well, he's still has some material appetite. And then when they get tired, then it becomes very easy. So we should never see a person who goes astray in ordinary way. And in fact, I have seen it. They don't forget Krishna. They don't forget Krishna. They remember Krishna in so many ways. Krishna keeps reminding them again and again and again. And at the right time, they come. But generally, a person leaves because of offenses. No doubt. Also, because of material desires. But you see, who does not have material desires? It is mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur that practically until the time of Bhava, there's still some tinges of material inebriety in the heart. So everybody practically has got some material desires or some material inebriety within this world. But as long as you don't commit offenses, those desires cannot act. They don't take effect. So therefore I said that it's generally due to offenses, because the material desires are a secondary issue. The offenses are the primary issue that makes someone leave. Because the desires, we're here and we have desire. There's still desire in the heart. But still we can maintain our status quo if we're very careful not to commit too many offenses. But if the number of offenses, you know, weighs down too heavily, poop, then bloop, under the water for a while. And as you may correctly have said, that it is no doubt also there are, you know, very often it may, the situation may have been exacerbated, may have been worsened by somebody's dealing with the persons. That is certainly true. But Prabhupada said that, you know, after all, we're living in a hospital. So in the hospital, you have to expect that there are many patients who are also ill. You know, it's not, and sometimes even the doctors get a little ill. So Prabhupada said, you have to be very tolerant living amongst devotees. You know, it is a question of great tolerance. But there's so much, you think you don't have to be tolerant living with the karmis? I mean, they go through a lot of, they have to be very tolerant too. It's very awkward for them. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. We'll end the class as it has gone over time. But this is the result of sitting in association with so many wonderful devotees. We forgot the time. Sankirtan Yavna Ki. Ekadasi Vrat Ki. Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bo.